Good morning, and welcome to the worship service broadcasting live from the 8th Reformed Church, located at 841 Burton Street, Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Join us for the next hour as Pastor Howard Davis brings a message titled, Using Your Gifts, from Scripture found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 12, and 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 through 11.
Good morning to everyone. Welcome to the morning service of 8th Reformed Church. One announcement Tom told me just now. If you're driving a Lincoln and it's parked over here, your lights are on, and you better turn them off or you won't be driving home. Usually I'm sitting back there in the back row with my wife Mary, but today I'm up here in the pulpit. I'm going to lead the worship service. Since I retired, I've been much involved with the ministry on Beaver Island. I volunteered there for 6 years as their pastor from 1999 to 2005. And then for many years, I was on the church board and would go up there the second Sunday of every month to lead a worship service and serve on the board. I arranged for Pastor Mark to get to Beaver Island last year and do a service. He'd been there once this year and is going again this year. The last time he went, we were sitting at coffee time talking about that, and Pastor Harry came up and he seemed to have interest in that. So I called Judy on the island and she just happened to have two dates open, June 22nd and June 29th, and Harry picked June 22nd. I told him he could go and I'd fill in for him here. Now next Sunday I'll be on Beaver Island, Harry will be here. So it's going to be just switched around. But happy again to serve the congregation of 8th Reformed Church and to stand here in the pulpit and lead your worship service. Our call to worship today comes from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Our opening hymn is hymn number three, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Thank you.
Let's join in prayer. Our Father in heaven, once again, we are happy to be here to worship and to praise you in the Eighth Reformed Church. We're mindful and thankful for all your care and keeping over us in this past week, ministering to each one of us as the needs have been there. And now we rejoice and be glad that we can hear to fellowship together and to worship and to praise. We ask your richest blessing upon us as we gather here now in the congregation, as your word is spoken and as we participate in this service. And we ask it all in the Lord's name. Amen. Receive God's greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to sing now hymn number 685, Footsteps of Jesus. Time for a prayer. I'm going to close our prayer today praying for peace in the world. It's a troubled place right now, and more just happened yesterday, as you well know from the news. But war is a terrible business, and I ask you each and every day to pray for a peace that all this destruction and killing can stop. And we'll make that a real part of our prayer this morning as well. Let's join together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we begin our prayer this morning with some prayers of thanksgiving. We're thankful, God, that by day, you minister to each one of us as we have need. And from time to time, perhaps too, as we face some kind of difficulty. We rejoice and give thanks that your strength has been there for us to lean upon, and you guided us when necessary to do that and find that which will bring us peace and comfort. We rejoice today, too, for the new life that you've given to us in Jesus Christ to live and enjoy each and every day, a life of peace, a life of hope, a life of joy, and especially a life of service. We're so thankful, God, that each one of us can take our life and use it to your praise and glory as you call upon us to do and encourage us to do. And that's our prayer for us as well, even, that each one of us may continue to do as you lead and as you call, and we will follow on. We pray a prayer of thanksgiving, too, for the 8th Reformed Church, of which we're so very glad to be a part of in these days. We rejoice in those who serve as our pastor, Pastor Harry and Pastor Mark. We're so thankful that both here are here to lead us into worship and to have pastoral care for us when it's necessary. We're thankful for each thing and each person that's a member of the church as well, as we fellowship together from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. And so for all the good things that happen to us because we are a part of the 8th Reformed Church, today we give a prayer of thanksgiving. We have a prayer for ourselves this morning, too. We pray, God, that you'll help all of us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ as you want us to do, as your word is preached from Sunday to Sunday here in the 8th Reformed Church. Encourage us to listen very carefully and then take it to heart especially and then to apply it to our lives as we live each and every day. Encourage us especially to serve with the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us. Tap us on the shoulder if necessary, wake us up, and then lead us in those ways whereby we can serve to your praise and to your glory. And our prayer for each one of us is that you'll always keep us always close to you. The Bible promises, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And so, our God, our prayer is that as we draw near every day to you, you will draw near to us as well. We close our prayers this morning with some prayers for others. We pray for Pastor Harry and Beth as they are on Beaver Island. We trust you'll bless them as they preach to the congregation gathered there on the island. And we pray for safe travel, too, as they come home again here and come once again to serve here at 8th Church. We pray especially today for all those noted in our Sunday bulletin with health needs. Our God, we pray that your healing hand may be present upon them. We pray that as some struggle with these difficulties, you will be there to comfort and to sustain them. And we pray especially, God, in difficult days, that your presence may encourage them in their life, and be there to support day by day as the need is there. We pray for some in our congregation who have special needs as well. And we trust God you'll minister to them and lead them through those days to better days as they lie ahead. We pray also for your presence with all of us in this coming week, that you'll guide us and keep us close to you. Lastly, this morning, we pray for peace in the world. Peace in between Ukraine and Russia, peace in Gaza, where Israel is fighting, and now in Iran, that peace may prevail there too. We trust God by your great wisdom and by your great power, you can cause a change in men's hearts and lives and minds. And instead of all these terrible things taking place each and every day, they may cease. And somehow these countries and all the countries of the world can learn to live in peace and harmony one with another, that all these other terrible things may stop. And that's our prayer this morning. Hear us now, too, as we pray together the prayer which Jesus has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation is hymn number 588, All for Jesus. Our scripture today, turn first to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, that's page 1636. We're going to be speaking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit today, and it's found in four places in the New Testament, and one of them here is in 1 Corinthians. In fact, this is the longest discussion about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. All address that. We'll read just first 11 verses. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore I tell you, that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each man just as he determines. And then turning to 1 Peter, in chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the Bible I use every day. You can see that's a good Bible. It's held together with tape. If your Bible looks like that, it's a good Bible. When I first entered the ministry in the Reformed Church in 1961, there was a day on the Christian church calendar, and it was called Layman Sunday. On Layman Sunday, the preacher got to sit down in the pew and listen to the service while two or three laymen of the congregation would conduct the worship service. I would meet them before the service sometime for weeks before that, and we'd plan the service. And so I'd give some guidance to them as to what to speak and do during the worship service. But the whole point of the Layman Sunday was, first, a reminder. There was a reminder to the men in the church that they were to be involved in the work and ministry of the congregation in doing God's work. But secondly, it was a message of encouragement to all the men in the church that when opportunity came, that they could serve according to the gifts that the Holy Spirit had given to them. They would step forward and be willing to serve in that way. Well, about 50 years ago, Layman Sunday was changed to Laity Sunday, so that it included not just the men who were responsible for doing the work of the church, but that it was a women as well. So Laity Sunday meant that everybody in the congregation was called upon to do the work and the ministry of the church. And I do the same thing. In the years I was pastor here at 8th Reformed Church, I would have Judy put an announcement in the bulletin about the 1st of August that we'd be celebrating Laity Sunday on the second Sunday in October, and we'd ask for volunteers to do that service. And we always got both men and women to volunteer to perform in that service. I'd meet with them and help them somewhat to fashion the service and to put it together. But on Laity Sunday, I sat down in the pew, and they did the service. And the purpose for Laity Sunday was exactly the same as the purpose for Layman Sunday. It was a reminder to all the people in the congregation, that they too should take part in the work and ministry of the church, and especially the congregation of which they are a part. And likewise to them, it was a message of encouragement that according to the gifts the Holy Spirit had given to them, when opportunity came, they were to step up and also serve in that respect. And that's what we're going to be talking about today here from the Word of God, using your gifts. As a reminder to each one of us who are part of the Eighth Reformed Church, that we have a role and responsibility in doing the work of the church here in the Eighth Reformed Church. And it's a message of encouragement to us as well, that when the opportunity is there, according to the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us, we'll feel God tap us on the shoulder and we'll say, "Here, Lord, am I, use me in your service." And here's what the Bible says to us in 1 Peter. "As each one has received a gift, employ it for one another." There are two things there. As each one who has received a gift, employ it for one another. And so those are the two things we're going to talk about this morning. A gift received and a gift used. First then, a gift received. The Bible says here to you and me, as each one receives a gift. And so we're assured that the Holy Spirit will be in the life of each one of us, providing a gift for us so to serve. In reality, when you look at the situation, most of us will get more than one gift to serve. And so in various ways, according to the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us, we can do a number of things in the life and ministry of the congregation of which we are part. As I mentioned before, these gifts are found in four places in the New Testament. They're found in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And in these four places, you can find the various gifts which the Holy Spirit gives to members of the congregation. If you count them all up, trying to fit them together, or sometimes they're worded differently, but if you count them all up, there's about 22 gifts of the Holy Spirit that are mentioned there. These are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us that we can minister and serve in the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "Some are apostles, some are prophets, some are evangelists, some are pastors, and some are teachers." Those you can see kind of focus in on the pastor, on Pastor Harry and Pastor Mark. Those are the gifts that they have got. A prophet, they speak the word of God. And one who preaches the gospel, they preach the gospel. One who is a pastor, they minister to people. One who is a teacher. But that applies to others who teach in the church as well. These gifts are given to them to serve. Now, some of the other gifts are this. I'm not going to give them all to you, but I'll give you a few of them. One of the gifts is contributing or giving. And as you know, we take a Sunday offering every Sunday. And to encourage us to do that, the Holy Spirit gives us the gift of giving. One very important gift that the Holy Spirit gives, and one which is used all the time, rather simple one, it is a gift of help. And the Holy Spirit gives to some people, and I think to a great abundance of people, the gift of help. And so then they can do something when they see that, and they can minister to somebody using their gift of help. Another one which is very close to that is giving aid. Another one very close to that, doing acts of mercy. And sometimes you see opportunities to do that because the Holy Spirit has given you that gift. And you will give aid and you will do an act of mercy to help somebody. One gift that always surprised me when you find it there is the gift of administration. Being ahead of something. I never appreciated how much administration is necessary in a church until I became a pastor. And you're the head of the church and you have a lot of things to do as a pastor and administering the things in the church, but other people do too. right along with that is the gift of leadership. I've long said in the church that there's an abundance of people to do the work, but the one key person that you need to get something done is a leader. And to some people in the church, the Holy Spirit gives that gift, the gift of being a leader, and then things can get done in the church with that leader putting it all together and doing it. And then one other important gift that the Holy Spirit gives to people is a gift of encouragement. What a wonderful gift the Spirit gives to some people, and they see people in situations then, and they have this gift, and they go to them, and they encourage them. So these are some of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. You can read the rest of them there as well, in these four places in the New Testament. Most feel, though, that this is the totality of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. They think this list of gifts is illustrative of the kind of gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. But as the years come and go and things change, people with other kinds of gifts are necessary to do the work in ministry in the church. We need somebody in the radio room, for example. We need Doug here with the YouTube. We need someone running the speaking system, and on and on. And so there are other gifts that the Holy Spirit may give as well. What is necessary for every one of us? If we're going to be used in the ministry of the church, is to find out what gift or gifts we have. And one of the questions which people have often asked me is this question: Pastor, how will I know what my gift is? And I give them certain answers. Most of us have a pretty good understanding of our own person. And quite often you can figure out what the gift is that God has given to you. If that doesn't work, quite often you can ask a relative or a friend. I've been asked to teach a class, you can tell them. And do you think I have the gift of teaching? And they'll probably be honest with you and say, well, I don't think so. Or else they will say, okay, I think you can do that. So go ahead and do it. So if you can't figure it out by yourself, then ask somebody else and that may help you. And then most certainly you can pray about it. I think maybe we've already done that, many of us. We can ask God to help us and guide us to understand who he wants us to be and what he wants us to do and what the Spirit has equipped us so to do. So you can do all three of those things. But finally, you have to try. And then you will find out whether or not you can do that. When I went to Western Seminary, we met the first day, and there were 24 of us in the class. That was the fall of 1958. And we met with various members of the board, and they just kind of kept asking the same question. And it got a little irritating toward the end. They kept saying to us, do you feel God has called you to be a pastor? Well, of course we did. There we were, you know, going to seminary. I had been teaching at Henry Ford Community College for a couple of years. I quit my job and moved my wife and my daughter to Holland, Michigan. Of course I felt called by God to the ministry. And then they kept asking us the question again. Do you feel God has called you to the Christian ministry? And all 24 of us kept saying, of course. We felt God has called us to the Christian ministry. But finally, we had to try. At the end of the first year in the seminary, they sent you to a church to preach. I was assigned to the Maplewood Reformed Church in Holland, Michigan. It was terrifying. I didn't go to bed at all that night. And I sat there in the room waiting to meet with the elders, and you know what I said to myself? I said, Howard, how did you ever get yourself in this predicament? Well, like I say, once I started preaching that day, they could burn the building down, they wouldn't have shut me up. I tried, and that was a verification for me that God had called me to the ministry. That summer, I was assigned to the Forest Home Reformed Church in Muskegon, Michigan for 12 weeks. For 12 weeks, I preached Sunday morning and Sunday night, writing a new sermon every week. They asked me to stay 3 more weeks, which I did, so I was there for a total of 15 weeks, preached 30 sermons, and that was verification that indeed God had called me to the Christian ministry. But of the 24 in my class, six did not make it. For one reason or another, they didn't make it to the point of graduating from seminary and ever serving a church. And I saw one of them years later in Minnesota when I lived there. And he had gone to mortuary school and become a funeral director, buying a funeral home. And he said to me, "This is what God called me to do. Not to be a pastor, but to do this." And he found his calling. And so you have to try. You have to try. If you feel you have the gift, go give it a try. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. My first year in the ministry, my wife was asked to speak at the mother and daughter banquet at the First Reformed Church in Missouri, Iowa. She said, "What shall I do?" And I said, "Hey, give it a try." So I helped her put a message together. I stayed home with our 3 children. She came home later that evening, and she said, "Well, I found out what my gift isn't." And that was her first and last speaking to a group of women at a mother and daughter banquet. So you've got to try. If you feel you have a gift, give it a try. Sometimes you'll find out yes, and sometimes you'll find out no. The Bible says another couple things about our gifts. The first is that we all do not get the same gift. That was a problem in the church at Corinth. Some who spoke in tongues looked down their nose at those that didn't speak in their tongues, that they weren't even Christian because they didn't speak in tongues. But Paul asks a question at the end of 1 Corinthians here. He says, "Are all prophets? Are all apostles? Are all teachers? Are all healers? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret tongues?" And he asks that question with a little two-letter Greek word. And when you ask that question with that word, the answer must be no. And so you read those questions. Are all apostles? No, all are not apostles. Are all prophets? No, all are not prophets. Are all teachers? No. Do all speak in tongues? And he wanted him to say no. And do all interpret tongues? No. So there's a variety of gifts, but all people do not get the same gifts. So here we are as a congregation, and we all get different gifts, but we all do not get the same gifts. And then he says, we read this in our scripture reading, we read a long list of gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. You start there at verse 8 and read through verse 11. There's a long list of those gifts. But then you notice what Paul says there in verse 12. All gifts are inspired by the one Spirit. All gifts are inspired by the one Spirit. And he apportions to each individual as he wills. So the Holy Spirit makes the determination as to what gift you will receive, what gift that the Holy Spirit will give to you. Now, before he makes that determination, I'm sure he looks at each one of us, the gifts that we may already have naturally about our person, knowing that one person more be inclined to become a preacher, one person may be more inclined to become a helper, one person may be inclined to become a leader, and so forth. And so the Holy Spirit gives the appropriate gift to the person according to who the person is. So the Bible teaches us here that each person gets a gift or gifts from the Holy Spirit for ministry in the church. Secondly, they are given to us, as the Bible says here, as each has given us a gift, God has given, the Spirit has given us a gift, employ it for one another. We are to use it for other people. Now, I mentioned there are four places where the gifts of the Spirit are mentioned. In Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then Ephesians chapter 4, and here in 1 Peter chapter 4. The emphasis is the same in each place. Now, there are a little different nuances to it, and different things are suggested. But the emphasis is exactly the same. That is, the Holy Spirit gives you a gift, then you are to use it. Use it, use it, use it. That's the key word. Use your gifts. Use the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you. Don't let them lay dormant. Don't let them lay off to the side somewhere. But take that gift that the Holy Spirit has given to you and use it. In the book of Romans, it says it very, very briefly, for us to use the gift that the Holy Spirit has given to us. Here in 1 Corinthians, it says that we are to use our gift for the common good. So you have to think as you use your gift, whatever that may be, is that that's for the welfare and the good of the whole congregation of which you are a part. Use it for the common good. As a pastor, that's most important. As a pastor when you preach, as a pastor when you teach, as a pastor when you call on people, your whole objective is for the blessing and good upon the congregation of which you are serving. And the same needs to be true for every single person as you use your gift, whatever it may be, is to help not only that person, but finally for the common good. And then Paul makes one big point which we sometimes overlook. And that is that 1 Corinthians 13 is a part of Paul's discussion about the use of the gifts that the Spirit has given to us. And that's Paul's great chapter on love. And he starts by giving three examples. And in all cases, you can have do all you can to make those very effective. But if you don't have love, they're not worthwhile. What you need to have is love if you're going to use your gifts. I can tell you a little side story about 1 Corinthians 13. I went to Huff School on Ball Avenue in Northeast Grand Rapids. It was a county school, three grades in a room. It was a K-8 school. And you remember, maybe not, you most aren't old enough, but in 1942 or 43, I think, Eddie Reckenbacher was riding along in a bomber in the Pacific, and they went down. They ran out of fuel. And he and the crew, and the captain was Captain Cherry, floated for, I think, about 21 days, as I remember. And when they were rescued, they asked him, well, what kept you alive? What kept you going in this terrible thing, drifting in the Pacific Ocean, never knowing whether you'd ever survive it? And he said, we had scripture memorized, and we kept repeating that scripture. So the teacher did something for us as a class. She had us memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this great chapter on love. Couldn't do that today, but she did it then. So love is an important part of the use of the gifts which we have then. I mentioned the gifts likewise in Ephesians chapter 4 as primarily for the pastors, and that's true. And then it tells why those gifts are given to Pastor Mark and Pastor Harry. They get the gift of preaching the word of God, they get the gift of teaching, they get the gift of being a pastor. And it's all for this purpose, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That's what the Bible says. They serve the congregation in all those capacities to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That's you and me, the people of God, the believers. To equip the saints for the work of ministry so that the people of the church may grow. That's why they get their gifts. We get the gifts, as he says in here in First Peter, to serve and to speak, and those are kind of broad terms, which encompass many of what we have said. So that's what it says in each place here in the Bible. Now, from time to time, Pastor Harry or Pastor Mark will stand in the pulpit here, and they will make a need known. We need somebody to teach a class. We need somebody to be a greeter. And sometimes we need somebody to serve as deacons or elders in the church. But there'll be some need in the congregation which they will be made known to us who are a part of the congregation. And they'll make that need known to us. When they do that, when they make a need known to us who are in the congregation, there are two questions we have to ask ourselves. The first question is, do I have the gift? Do I have the gift that I can do that? And if you answer yes to that question, I have the gift. I can be a teacher. I could be an elder. I could be a deacon. I could be a greeter. Then you have to ask yourself the next question. Is God calling me now to do that? Did God tap me on the shoulder, and is God calling me now to do that? And so that's the way we begin to serve. The need is made known to us. We reckon that we have the gift. We feel that God is calling us to do it. Now, sometimes you can see that in another way. It's not just when they speak and make that known to you. Each one of us, as a part of the church, need to open our eyes, need to look. We read the bulletin and find out a lot of things about a lot of people. And sometimes there are some kind of needs. And maybe you have the gift of help. And you see that you can maybe help that person. Or maybe you have the gift of giving aid. And you can see that you can maybe give some aid to minister to that person. And so all of us need to be looking, always trying to find out, is there some way I can use the gift that God has given to me in the congregation of which you are a part? And sooner or later, you'll find some way that you can do that. In the summer of 1953, I went to the University of Michigan Biological Station up on Douglas Lake up in Sheboygan County. I was a botany major in college. Often say you gotta have a master's degree in botany to be a preacher. I don't think so. But I went to summer school that summer for some strange reason. Don't ask me why. Well, because of my effect on me in the military service in wartime or what. But I just looked and looked and looked to try to see ways to help people. And almost every day I found some way to do something for somebody because I was searching and looking. And I found ways to help people. And so folks, don't just wait for some announcement to be made from the pulpit here as to how you can use the gift the Holy Spirit has given to you. Look yourself around. And if there's somebody that you can help according to the gift that the Holy Spirit has given to you, you pitch in and you help. Now let me add something here. To use your gifts is going to cost you something. That's a given. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something in time. If you're going to teach a class, we'll say, for example, you got to spend the time preparing. You got to spend the time teaching. If you're going to give someone some aid because of sickness or some other reason, it's going to cost you some time. It will cost you something. And it's also going to take some effort. You have to put forth some effort to use your gifts. So it costs some time and takes some effort. Might even cost you financially. Who knows? But it's going to take something from you. But you're going to be willing to do it, because the Holy Spirit has given you this gift and God has called you to do it. And so you're happy to do it. Let me just say one more thing in that respect too. When you use your gift to minister to someone else, you're a blessing to them. But there's a reciprocal effect too. There's a blessing to you. My oldest daughter, when she was 24, was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. She lived in Sioux City, Iowa, and she had just before she got married. Within 4 years, she could not walk. Within another 4 years, she could not move anything in her body. She laid in her hospital bed in the living room. Caregivers were hired, and they came every morning for 2 hours to take care of her. But the rest of the day, she lay in that bed by herself, unable to move at all, for 22 years. You know what? You know what? They were members of a church which is just around the corner from them. And every afternoon, for 20 years or so, two people came and spent 2 hours with my daughter Heidi, just to be with her, to comfort her, and to give her the help that she needed. They were a great blessing to her, but she was a great blessing to them as well. I got to know the pastor, and that's what he told me. He said, they're a blessing to her, but boy, how that has affected and blessed our congregation. And when my daughter Heidi died and we went out there to her funeral service, the church was packed with all the people of the congregation, because they had been a blessing to her, but she had been a blessing to them as well. Folks, when you use your gifts, the gift of help, the gift of giving an aid, whatever the gift may be, you're a blessing to others, but there is reciprocal effect too. You are a blessing to them. And so, using your gift, the sermon today reminds you that you are supposed to give your life in ministry and service to God. And the sermon today is a word of encouragement to you as well, to use your gift as God taps you on your shoulder to so use it. I want to close by giving you two words from the Bible. Two verses, rather, not two words. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And these are not two bad verses to memorize. Now, you're thinking about using our gift now. We're thinking about using our gift. Here's what the Bible says there. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for we will reap if we do not lose heart. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are the household of faith. May God bless you all as you take your gifts the Holy Spirit has given to you and use them to minister to someone else. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gifts that you have given to us. We're so glad that you are willing to use us and tap us on the shoulder to so do. We trust, God, you'll send us forth now to open our hearts, our eyes, and our lives, that we may be truly your servants according to the gifts the Holy Spirit has given unto us. Make us faithful stewards as the word requires day by day, that we may do these things. And we ask it in the Lord's name. Amen. Our hymn now is hymn number 670, Make Me a Blessing. Offering will now be received.
Thank you.
Here again, God, we give our gifts. We ask your blessing upon them. We trust, O God, to be used to glorify your name, to spread the word and lead people to Jesus Christ. Send them forth, we pray, to all those purposes. In his name, amen. After the benediction, we're going to sing number 232, both verses. And now receive the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jeffro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service of our website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in his care.